Well, thank you for being here this morning. This morning we are going to go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4. So in the back of your Bibles in the New Testament, the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4. Over these past few weeks, we've been looking at the subject of serving the Lord and the will of God for our lives. This morning we're going to 1 Peter chapter number 4, and once again we'll be encouraged along in this theme. 1 Peter chapter number 4, and let's look at verses 1 to 4 together. 1 Peter chapter number 4, beginning in verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Verse number 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, help us to reverence you this morning by an open heart and a willing heart to obey your word. Father, we pray that you would revive us again in this area of your will. Father, help us to be your servants in this day. Lord, there is no day with such a greater need for your people to serve you. Lord, to live out our lives, Lord, in fear of thee, and not in the fear of man and what others think. Lord, help us, we pray, to live according to your plan, according to your purpose. And help us now in your word as we look to you, O Lord. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God, He would teach us and lead us into truth this morning, that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, may we leave this place with an increased desire and determination to make our lives count for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we open to the book of 1 Peter this morning, let me remind you that the theme of this book and the reason why Peter writes is to give hope to Christians during a time of great suffering and great persecution. Now, during the first half of Christianity, the Christians, most of their persecution came from the Jewish unbelievers. They were the ones who mocked Christians, who persecuted them, who once, like the Apostle Paul, hunted down Christians and murdered them. But during the first half of the century, that was where their suffering mostly came from. But later on, especially during the days of Emperor Nero, everything would change. In 64 AD, those of you who know Roman history, the great fire in Rome broke out, and the city was in danger of complete destruction. Now, the emperor at the time, Nero, was well known by the public as someone who wanted to recreate Rome. He wanted to rebuild physically, literally, the city for his glory and to show his greatness. Now, the people, the public, were beginning to join the dots together. And as the fire broke out in Rome, they were beginning to blame Nero and say that he was responsible in destroying the city so that he could rebuild it for his own pride and for his own glory. So with the city's bitterness and anger growing towards him at an alarming rate, Nero had to find a believable scapegoat, someone else to blame, or else he would lose his empire. And guess who were the people that he chose to blame? He found a good scapegoat, a good group of people to blame in those who were called Christians. Now, Christians were already the subject of ridicule and slander. They were already being persecuted for their faith. Their meetings, met in private houses, met in private, were already under great suspicion. And as Christians believed in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians taught the Word of God, the destruction of the earth by fire in time to come, Nero found a believable reason and a scapegoat to blame Christians for the fires of Rome. And from that point onwards, every Christian in the Roman Empire was in peril for his life. One Roman historian of the day tells of one of the most horrific accounts where Nero would roll Christians in tar or in pitch, and he would set them alight and use them as living torches in his garden feasts and banquets. Friends, this was a time of great persecution, a time of great suffering that we have no idea about today. And these were the ones that Peter was writing to encourage to keep serving God, to encourage to live out the will of God. Now, though we may not know the same level of suffering in Australia, in the city of Cairns today, for those of us who are Christians, we need to understand we too will suffer persecution. We too will suffer slander and accusations and persecution for our faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And friends, as wickedness is on the increase, as the world is spiraling down into the last day's judgment, friends, we will experience a greater measure of persecution, a greater measure of suffering. We need to realize that biblical Christianity is not going to get more popular. Our churches will not become more respectable. They will become more hated, and Christians will be more rejected. But let me say this, when it comes to serving God, now is not the time to hide our faith. Amen. We need to be more bold and more courageous than ever to serve God, to follow out the will of God for our lives, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to learn some wonderful lessons from 1 Peter chapter number 4. In chapter 4 verses 1 to 5, Peter addresses this need to live according to the will of God. Now, why would Peter write to suffering Christians about God's will? Why would he write to suffering saints? Why would he write to them about the importance of living out the will of God? Well, isn't it true that when you and I face trials, when you and I face rejection, when you and I face difficulties in our lives, isn't it true that that's the moment many times that we choose to fall out of the will of God, to walk away from what God has called us to do, to look for a way out? And often the way out is the highway out of the will of God. You see, God wants us to walk through the fiery trial. He wants us to know that He is with us, and He doesn't want us to escape that which He has ordained for us. God wants us to serve Him today, despite the rejection, despite the opposition, despite the difficulties of the world that we live in. You and I as Christians, like these Christians that Peter once wrote to, friends, you and I can have victory in a time of suffering, in a time of persecution. Now, as we look at the subject of the will of God again, we need to make sure that we don't think that this is a subject just for our young people. Amen? Living out God's will is not just for our children, not just for teenagers. Those of you who are a little bit older, you might say this morning, "Well, Pastor, I'm beyond the prime time of my life. I've passed that age. You know, God's will and serving God, well, that's just for the young people." Well, yes, it is for them, but it's for everyone. No matter what age you are, you see, the prime of your life is when you are in the will of God. The prime of your life is when you are serving God. So let me encourage you. This message is for everyone that is a child of God and that desires to serve Him. It's not a matter of finding God's will for our lives. It's a matter of finding our place in the will of God. And the question is that we must ask, what does He have for me to do in His will? Friends, the Christian life is exciting. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. This morning we're going to learn four lessons from this chapter about living the will of God. Living the will of God. Well, notice first of all, the Bible tells us in verse 2, the plan of God. Notice God's plan for our lives. Verse 2 says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, what are the next words? But to the will of God. Friend, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, God has a brand new plan for your life. And all God's people said, Amen. God has a brand new plan. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, long gone, praise God, and all things are become and are becoming new. God has a new plan for our lives. And that's not difficult for us to understand. God created us for a purpose. He made us from the dust of the earth, and we are created in the very image of God. And once that relationship is restored through the Lord Jesus Christ, God has a new and exciting life for us to live. He has saved us. Saved us for what? He has saved us to serve Him. He has saved us to serve the living God. And as we look at these verses this morning, do you see the contrast between the old life and the new in verse number 2? Look there with me. God draws a comparison and a contrast between the old life and the new life. The old plan, if you will, and the new plan. Notice what God says in verse 3. For the time past, that's before these ones became Christians. For the time past, our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. In short, Peter summarized how the world lives. And Peter is saying, if you want to live the will of God, you need to live differently from the world. You need to live a brand new life contrary to how you used to live before you became a Christian. Notice what these words mean. The word lasciviousness in verse 3 refers to perverse sexual sin. That's what the word means. And that's what the world says today. Whatever you feel like doing, just do it. Don't hold back. Everything that you feel and that you desire is right because you want it. That's what the word lasciviousness means. The word lust do not refer just to immorality. They refer to lusting after anything in life. It may be the lusting after wealth, possessions. It may be the selfish desire for popularity. Just live as you please. Just if you want something, then live your life for that. The Bible tells us there in verse number 3, next, excess of wine. That refers to intoxication on any level. Revelings, uncontrolled actions, letting yourself loose. It may be in your decision making, it may be in your temperament, in your anger, frustration, bitterness, jealousy, revelings. Unrestrained behavior. Banquetings refer to wild parties, which were common among the Gentile nations. Feasts and uncontrolled indulgences, banquetings. And then lastly, abominable idolatries. And all these ways of living ultimately pointed to a life of worshipping something other than the one true God. The word abominable means that which God hates. And in short, Peter was summarizing how the world lives. But do you think this summary is still a summary of how the world lives today? Yes or no? Lust, wild parties, drunkenness, Friends, this is how the world lives. And the Bible tells us if you and I are going to live according to the will of God, there ought to be a difference in how we live today. There ought to be a difference when you became a Christian in your desire. You ought to be living out a new plan. And that is the plan of the will of God. See, before we were saved, just like these believers, we lived like the world. We lived like the world. And the Bible tells us, what profit had ye then in those things which ye are now ashamed? That's one of my favourite verses. What profit, what good did it do for you in those things, those sins, those wicked actions that you committed, what profit did they do for you in those things which you are now ashamed? Friends, we ought to be ashamed of our sins. We ought to be so ashamed that we don't want to go back and continue them in our lives. The Bible tells us that there ought to be a difference. Friends, this is the will of God in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, that you should no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh, but to the will of God. Christian, how are you living today? Are you still deferring back to the lusts of the flesh? Or are you living according to the will of God? You see, it's either one or the other. Either we are reverting back to the way of the world, or we are living out God's plan for our lives. Now that's a sobering thought. You see, if you and I are not serving God, if you and I are not living in the will of God, if you and I are not excited about the Christian life and being a witness and serving God and following after righteousness, then there's only one other option. There's only one other way we are living. We are not serving God, we are serving ourselves. And we are living like the world. We are serving and following our own lust. Now you may not think it's that bad, but that's what the Word of God says. If you are not serving God, you are serving yourself. You are just following after that which you lust after, whatever it may be. Money, homes, wealth, pleasure, entertainment, comfort. To be honest, most Christians at the end of the day just want to be comfortable. And God has a very unique way of removing that from our lives, doesn't He? He does. God has a very unique way of dealing with us to help us to understand that He has called us to serve Him. And in serving Him, there are divine delights, if you will, joys greater than you and I serving our own sinful flesh. You see, the plan of God is so much greater than our plan for ourselves. But that can only be understood if we accept it by faith. You see, you don't know how good the will of God is until you're in it. And so if you are still serving yourself, you might be sitting here, teenagers, and going, you know what? I know I should serve God. I hear great things about it. But to be honest, it's not a reality for me. And to be honest, there's so much in the world that excites me, that stirs up my hormones, if you will. And maybe that's where you are, young person. You don't know about the will of God because you've never surrendered your heart to do His will. You see, the Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Peter chapter 4 that God's plan is that we should no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That is His plan for your life and mine. That is His purpose in leaving us here. That we would honour and glorify Him. Friend, this is for you. And this is for me. Are you living out His plan? Or are you just eking out a life on this earth according to the lusts of your own personal plans and desires? The plan of God is what God has called us to follow. Now, what is the motivation for living out His plan? Well, there's a reason why we missed verse number 1. Because verse number 1 tells us about the reason all of us as Christians should desire with a passion and a holy commitment to live according to the will of God. Notice the price God paid. We saw the plan of God. Notice in verse number 1, the price that God paid. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." You see, here is the motivation for you and I to live according to the will of God. And the motivation, my friends, is the price that our Lord Jesus Christ paid to purchase our new life in him. The Bible tells us in verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh." My friends, this new life in Christ did not come freely. It did not come cheaply. It did not come painlessly. No, the one that suffered for you, that you might be free, that you might be saved, that you may be forgiven and have eternal life, came through the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. The suffering of God. The Bible tells us, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, a just and holy and righteous God, whom you and I deserve the full wrath and judgment from, whom you and I deserve an eternal place in the lake of fire, he is the one that chose to take our punishment on himself. He is the one who came down to this wicked, sin-cursed earth and was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless, spotless life. And then he went to the cross of Calvary, and there on that cross, he took upon himself your sins and mine. And friends, he suffered. Isn't that what the Bible tells us in verse number 1? "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh," we cannot comprehend what it must have been like for God to humble himself, to come to this world, to take upon himself human flesh, that he may die a physical, torturous death to pay for your sins and mine. What's the motivation for living out the will of God? Friend, the motivation is the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did for you. What he did for me. The Apostle Paul said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, motivates us, compels us to follow the Lord. For if God so loved the world, should not we love and live for God?" Friends, that's the motivation. That is the motivation to live for God. The sufferings of Jesus Christ. It is the Son of God that died to purchase forgiveness for us with his own precious blood. And friends, if Jesus Christ had not suffered, if he had not come, there would be no hope, there would be no eternal life, there would only be eternal judgment for every single one of us in this room. Thank God that he died on the cross. Thank God he rose again, victorious on the third day. Thank God the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me ask you this morning, when was the time that you received Christ as your Saviour? If you're here this morning, can you be sure that you have an eternity in heaven with the Lord? Has there been a time that you repented of your sins and you realized how much God loved you by suffering for you on the cross, by paying for your sins once and for all, and that he is a risen Saviour that is seeking to save your soul? Has there been a time, my friend, that you turned from your sinful ways and put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you once and for all? Friend, if you're not sure, if there has been a time, if you're not sure where you will spend eternity when you die, let me encourage you to receive Jesus Christ this day. Let me encourage you to turn to the Lord for salvation once and for all. You see, the price has been paid. The suffering has been made. The Saviour is risen and he is willing and waiting to save today. Now, for those of us who are Christians, for those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought not to be any doubt, any question as to whether we should serve God. But I dare say it doesn't take long after you're saved, that those old sins start knocking at the door once again. Is that right? And the old world starts knocking at the door and lets you and I know that, hey, I'm still here. Those temptations are still there. But at the same time, there is the plan of God. There is the brand new life. The question is, how are you and I going to live? Are we going to live according to God's plan? Or are we going to live according to the lusts of our flesh? The will of God or our own will? The will of His plan or the plan of the world? Well, the difference is how you and I value our Saviour. The sufferings of Christ ought to motivate us to serve the Lord. Now, as we look at verse number one, you know, it's one thing for those who don't believe in Christ to reject Him, but it's another thing for Christians to ignore Him, to ignore His will. See, this chapter, this book was written to Christians, suffering Christians, but they were being tempted to hide their faith, to escape persecution, to not serve the Lord in their day and be a witness for God. They were being tempted to do that. So Peter was writing to them to encourage them to live out God's will in their day, to not hold back, to not go back to the old life, to not live a life blended into the world where no persecution comes because you live just like them. Now, I want you to live a different life. If they're partying, if they're lusting after the things of the world, your life ought to be so different that they see Jesus Christ in you. And the motivation is the Saviour. The price that He paid. Friend, the next time you find yourself wandering out of the will of God, let me encourage you to be reminded that Christ suffered for that sin that you are now indulging in. That Christ suffered for that sin that you have now yielded yourself to. That Christ suffered to die on the cross for that sin. Does that not motivate us to say sorry to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness and be cleansed and then go on to serve the living God? Friend, Christ suffered in the flesh for you and I. How are you living for God this day? Peter wasn't writing to the unsaved. He was writing to Christians. Let me encourage you to get back on track. To be revived in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, serving God, the Bible tells us, is the only reasonable thing to do in light of what Christ has done. It's only reasonable that if He has purchased us with His holy blood, that we would serve Him with our lives. That is your good and reasonable service. The price that is paid. Why should we live according to His plan? Because of the price. That's the reason. Not because it's comfortable. Not because it's appealing necessarily. Not because it's convenient for you and I. But at all costs, we ought to live for the will of God because Jesus Christ died for sinners like you and I. Amen? Because Jesus Christ is coming again and we ought to want to please the One who loved us so much. Friends, here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His only Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sin. Here in His love. Are you loving the One who loved you? Well, how do you show that love? By serving the Lord. Amen? By doing the will of God in your life and mine. Serving the Lord according to His plan. According to His plan. Christ paid a high price so that you and I might be saved from sin and might live for Him. We glorify the Lord by not living the rest of our time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Those things are past. They ought to be past. They ought not to be continuing and increasing. They ought to be past the will of the Gentiles. And we ought to desire, though we still sin, to follow and increase in the will of God. That's His plan and the price that God paid motivates us. Notice thirdly, the pathway to staying in the plan of God. The Bible says for us much then in verse 1, as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Now how can we know that we are serving God? How can we stay in the will of God? Well, the Bible tells us that we have a weapon in our spiritual warfare. We have a weapon to stay on the right path. And the Bible says we are to arm ourselves in verse 1 with what? With the mind of Christ. Arm yourselves likewise with this mind. You see, verse 1 tells us that we are in a spiritual warfare. We still have a sinful flesh. Is that correct? If you are a Christian, you still have a sinful nature raging within that wants to pull you back into the old life, that wants to pull you back into the old ways of living, that tempts you and I to live a life of sin, though we are saved by grace and kept by His grace. You see, we still have a sinful nature. We still live in a sinful world. But the Bible says that we can arm ourselves, how? With the mind of Christ. You see, God has a plan. And God has a purpose for your life and mine. And we are part of His plan. He wants to bless us. He wants to use us. He wants to grow us as Christians. But why is it so often we go off track? Why? Why is it? Well, the verse number 1 tells us about something. It tells us about how we think. Why do we go off track? Because we start to think once again the way we used to think. Is that right? We fall back into the old patterns of thinking. I don't know about you, but I was saved at the age of 26. That means even at my age today, for most of my life, I've lived without Jesus Christ. I've lived in darkness for 26 years. Before I repented and put my faith in Christ and experienced salvation full and free, I lived as an unsaved man. So I've got 26 years of habits. 26 years of sinful patterns and practices. How do we overcome being drawn back into the old ways of thinking? Well, we need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. That's the pathway to staying in the will of God. We need to think like God thinks. Now, it's not rocket science, but so often we miss it. We allow the old thoughts and the old ways to pull us back, do we not? Because we are not arming ourselves with the mind of Christ. We are not defending ourselves in the spiritual warfare with the ways of God. We are living according to the former lusts in our ignorance. Not in our ignorance. But when we used to be ignorant, living according to the former lusts, we are reverting to them. Notice Ephesians chapter number 4. The book of Ephesians chapter number 4. Thank you for turning there. Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse 17, there's something about the past. Those who are not saved. How the Gentiles live. This is not the will of God for the Christian. Verse 17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Verse 19. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness," there's the word again, "to work all uncleanness and greediness," with greediness. Verse 20, let's say it out loud together on two. 1, 2. "But ye have not so learned Christ." So the Bible pictures for us how the lost live. The unsaved. They are ignorant. They are darkened. They are alienated from the life of God because they have not received Jesus Christ as Saviour. So what else ought we to expect? Yes, the world is wicked. Yes, God hates sin. But they're living that way because they don't know any better. But the Bible tells us in verse 20, "But ye as Christians have not so learned Christ." You and I as Christians, we are not ignorant anymore. We are not living in the darkness anymore, is that right? If you've received Christ as Saviour, you have been enlightened, the Bible says. You have received the light of God. Notice verse number 20 as we go on. Stay with me, Ephesians 4, verse 20. "That ye have not so learned Christ, if so be, that ye have heard of Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your, say it, mind. You see, the pathway to living out God's plan is to have the mind of Christ. We are to put off the old ways, the old man, the old plan, and each day we are to put on the new man. And that's how we are renewed in the Spirit. Now let me ask a question. How many of you who were preparing to come to church this morning went to the laundry and you found your dirtiest piece of clothing to wear and you put that on this morning? Anyone? No, not me. Did anyone do that? No. Well, why would you? It's dirty. It's filthy. No, you would go to the cupboard and you'll find something that is the cleanest. Is that right? Well, I hope so. Something that is clean, something that is wearable, and that's what you put on. Now, the Bible says as Christians, spiritually, we need to put some things on and put some things off each day. What are we to put off? The old man. We are to put off, take off, and not put on those things that are filthy to God. Like lasciviousness, like drunkenness, like banquetings, like lusting, like abominable idolatries. We are to put these things off each day, and we are to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ and put on those things that are new. Amen. What things? Well, what the Bible tells us right here. We are to put on those things that please God. We are to put into our life the Word of God. We are to desire and make action to live out the will of God for our lives. That's what pleases God. Friends, the pathway to God's will is you and I being armed with the mind of Christ. You might be here this morning and you might say, Pastor, I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I just don't know whether I'm in His will. But friend, if you arm your mind with the mind of Christ, if your thoughts become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know and you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when sin comes knocking at your door, just like a filthy, dirty piece of clothing, you'll say, hey, that stinks. That made me dirty before. Why would I want to put that on? That is filthy. No, I'm not going to put that on. I'm not going to bring that into my life, into my home, into my Christian life. I hate that. I hate the garment spotted with the flesh. Amen? I don't want that in my life anymore. I want the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him. Friends, that's how you and I stay in the will of God. We put off the old man. You see, God says in His Word that there is an old man, but there is a new plan. Amen? There is an old man and a new man. There is an old plan and a new plan. The question is, which one are you and I living for? Are you and I living out the will of God? Or are you and I living out the rest of our days according to the lust of our flesh? Wow. What a message to these suffering believers. You see, this wake-up call in 1 Peter chapter 4 tells us that as Christians, we can go off track. Is that right? Now, if he's writing to Christians, that means it's for you and I. That means we can go off track. That means we can think that we're doing okay when we are in big, big trouble. Have you ever been like me as a Christian that you thought everything was fine, that you were right with God, and then maybe through a message or maybe through time in God's Word you realize that you were not, and it's been that way for a long, long time? I won't ask you to put up your hands, but I've been like that before. Where I thought I was right with God, and I thought I was on track, but really, I was very far. I was being blinded by my own sins. And thank God He wakes us up. Amen? Now some of you are asleep this morning, and you need to wake up. Not physically, but spiritually. You need to wake up, because the Lord is coming again, and we only have one life to live out the will of God, and God says you need to get in it now. You need to get busy serving the Lord now. And we have a lot of bodies in church this morning, but how many are serving the Lord? That's a good question to ask. How many? If you had to write down the ways you are serving God right now, what would you write down? What would you put down on a piece of paper? Ben, I'm not trying to be arrogant here, but we need to make a choice in our Christian life. Either we are living according to God's plan, or the only other option is living the same way the world lives. Though you and I may not like to hear that, that's the only other option. There is no grey area. There is no in-between. There is no happy medium with God. It's either all or nothing. It's either God or sin. Friends, which will you and I choose? I hope you're here this morning because you desire to please the Lord. If you're saved, I know that desire is there. That desire is in you. He put that in you. But perhaps it needs to be rekindled this morning as you consider that Christ suffered for those sins you and I are indulging in. He deserves our love. He is worthy of our service. That's the motivation. His price that he paid. The plan of God is his will. The pathway is to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. So if we have all these worldly things that are pulling us towards them and tempting us to follow them, then what is the way that you and I can stay on the plan? Well, we need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. What is God's priority for our lives? Well, it's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the priority. Whatever area of life you and I find ourselves in, whether we're with our relatives, whether we're at work, whether we're out and about in public, whether we are in church, whether we're out witnessing, what's God's plan, priority? It's the gospel. And if we arm our mind with the mind of Christ, we're not going to have time for all these useless, perverted sins. Amen? If we're armed, if we're ready, what's God's plan for you and I? To change, to be more like Jesus Christ. To fellowship with God. To glorify the Lord. Those are His priorities. But what are the world's priorities? Comfort. Is that right? You can say amen, that's right. Comfort. Success. Popularity. Wealth. Education. Entertainment. That's right. The list goes on. And on. Now, question, how many of those things are on your list of priority and where is God? You see, so often we think we're living according to the will of God when really as a Christian we're just living according to the Gentiles, the way that the world lives. Our priorities are not God. If we put God on the shelf, he'll be right at the bottom where the shelf is breaking off and is about to fall. That's where many Christians place God. God gets in the way of my comfort, he goes to the bottom. My priority is a stable life. So, therefore work comes first. Therefore money comes first. Therefore faith is a thing to be despised. Because it means I must trust God above all my fleshly desires. Can you see how often we live right here? And we think it's okay with God. But really, we're way off track. Because the plan of God is over here. It's because of the price that he paid. The only way we can see his plan is if we arm our mind with the mind of Christ. And the Christian life is all about putting off all this. Amen? Putting it off. Young people, what are you going to do after you finish school? Guess what? Your decision will be determined whether you stay right here, think like the world, or you put it off and you put on the mind of Christ. What does God want me to do? If you're going to live out the will of God, it is impossible for you to decide what to do with the rest of your life if you're sitting right here. Doesn't matter how good your intentions are. Let me challenge you. It doesn't matter how well-meaning you are. If your fleshly lusts are saying, well, I just got to make it in this world first before I step out by faith for God, you're already gone. You leave this church, you move somewhere else, I'm not expecting you to be in church, to be honest. Because you're right here. The only reason you might be here this morning, because if you didn't come, Mum and Dad would be upset. That's the danger for our young people. Living in the flesh. Living out your own lust. Young people, is that where you want to be?
Is that your desire?
Let me encourage you to arm yourself with the mind of Christ. What's the priority? Yes, God may want you to go to university, praise God, but He wants you to be a witness. Amen? He wants you to go to a place where there's a Bible-believing church where you can continue to grow and serve God. That's what He wants you to do. That's His plan. That's His will. That's the pathway of the will of God. In that which pleases Him. Priorities. Are our priorities God's or are they ours? Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 tells us the wonderful promise of God. Have a look in Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. I'm thankful this promise is in the Bible for me. Because to be honest, I get off track as much as anyone else. I find myself wandering and wondering whether I'm in His will. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. Let's read this aloud together, shall we? On two. One, two. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Friend, make no mistake. God is at work in your life as a Christian. He is at work within you. What does that mean? He will get your attention, amen? I thank God that when I've been over here as a Christian, living according to my own desires, my own plans and dreams for my life, God has woken me up. And friends, the difference between living in the will of God and not is that those times where He works in your life to get your attention, do you listen? Do you listen to Him? Or do you keep saying, no, I don't want that. No, not now. No, I want to hold on to this, whatever it may be, that's stopping you from serving God, from going all out for God. Friend, God, this Holy Spirit lives within us. He will not give us peace when we're living over here. The question is, are we going to respond? Are we going to respond to the Lord? God has designed our lives as Christians so that we will find purpose and satisfaction in surrendering to Jesus Christ. That's His plan. It's a wonderful plan. It's because of the price He paid. The pathway is to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. Are you armed this morning with His thoughts? Lastly, the possibility of missing God's will. Friend, it can never be both. Living for the world or living for God. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you love one, you'll hate the other. If you love God, you will hate the garment spotted with the flesh. Sin. The lusts of the world. You cannot be one. You cannot be both. And if we understand that, it means in verse number 4, back in 1 Peter chapter 4, let me close here. If you and I are not living according to the sinful lusts of our flesh and the world, and we need to understand that we will not be accepted by the world. Verse 4, wherein they think, that is those who are not Christians, wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Friends, if we serve God, guess what? We are not going to be popular. Young people, if you tell your friends at school that you want to live for God, you're not going to be their best friend any longer, very likely. You see, the unsaved world hate the things of God. They're not just against it, they hate it. The Bible tells us that righteousness is hated by the wicked, despicable, makes them sick. We will not be loved by the world if we stand for God. If we don't go where they go. If we don't do what they do. You need to understand that, Christian. The only way to live for God is to live separate from the world. We cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world. The world will hate you as a Christian. But verse number 5 says that these will have to give account to God at the judgment. You see, one day they will be held accountable for their sins. And friends, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are strangers and pilgrims in a strange land. We need to serve the Lord. That's the point. We need to serve God.
You know, for 26 years, I was raised with a philosophy and a way of thinking and a way of life that came directly from the pit of hell, the world. The world's ways. Get a career, establish yourself, buy a home, get a mortgage, get married, have 1.5 children, which is the average today. What a sickening average. 1.5 children. What an epitome of selfishness in the world. But what else should we expect from the world? 1.5 children, get a nice car, save up for your retirement. Have you heard it all before? Friend, many Christians are living that way. And they think that they're living out the will of God. When it's really just the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, we go out into this world, we preach the gospel, and we enjoy living out the pathway of the will of God. Amen? Or you could be stuck in the circular rut and be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Friends, don't try to fit the world's mold. Young people, don't try to fit into the world's fashion. Guess what? They're not going to fit. God says, put them off. Amen? Put off those filthy garments that are spotted with the world. You're not going to fit in into the world anyway, so why try and look like the world? Why try and be popular like the world? What's wrong with looking different as a Christian, amen? What's wrong in being clean? And what's wrong in presenting ourselves like we love God and we want to serve God and there's a difference in our life? Amen. Young people, don't try to please the world. You can't. You can't. The world will reject us. They'll think it's strange. But they'll have to give an account. Friend, God has a plan. He wants us to know it. He wants us to live in it. Maybe this morning is a wake-up call. Maybe as a Christian you're living right here. You think you're in God's will. But it's really the lust of the flesh that motivate you, excite you. Can I encourage you to confess that to the Lord? Let me encourage you to come over here where it's the love of Christ that motivates you. Where it's the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross that drives you to live for Him. And that it's God's plan that you desire. Friend, if you want the Lord, He will drive you through along the path of the will of God. He'll give you the grace, the strength, the power, the enabling, everything you need to live according to His plan. But the question is, what will your choice be? The former lusts or the future will be.